Good afternoon, this is Christian Waywell, doing a review of the iRiver H340 MP3 player stroke recorder. Now, the first thing, this review is basically going to be in two parts because I want to do a review of the actual player along with some practical examples of how you can actually use it to great effect. Followed by, on the next review, which I will need the PC for, to do a review with Rockbox. Now, Rockbox, for those of us that don't know, is a piece of firmware software which you can install to the iRiver players, the H100, the IHP100, the H300 series, and the Archos jukeboxes. I think it's Archos anyway, A-R-C-H-O-S. We'll pronounce it Archos, or Arcos. I prefer Archos somehow, it's better. Anyway, about the player. The iRiver H340 is a hard disk based player, and it is quite small. It's probably about the size, for those of you that can relate to them, it's just a tiny bit longer from bottom end to top end for a tiny bit longer than the book courier. Now, I'm recording this file at 128 kilobits per second. That is how this is going to be posted. I'm recording basically the highest quality the internal microphones will go to give you an idea basically how it sounds. Now, later on in the review, we're going to use my Tyros keyboard just to give you an idea of practical recording facilities. Now, let's talk first of all about the machine itself. We've talked about its physical size. I'm going to work round the player from top left down the right hand side, then I'm going to come from the bottom left and work to the right on the bottom, and then work up the left hand side to orient you to the player as it is facing me. Let's start on the top left. On the very top edge, you've got four jack plugs and what I think is possibly a light that seems to come on when you're charging the unit. We'll talk about the menu system briefly, although it is not easily accessible unless you've got sighted assistance. When you buy this player, you will need to configure it the way you want. Maybe put the monitor on, do a firmware upgrade. You will need sighted assistance to do this, but I'll try and talk you through the menu system on this as best I can. You can download the manual from www.iriver.com. iriver.com, just for clarity. Let's start with the top corner, the top left on this machine. It has four jacks. You have a headphone jack, the remote control jack, which allows you to plug in my case, the supplied wireline remote. It's quite a useful bit of kit, I would have thought. I haven't tried it yet. Basically, you can put this thing in your pocket, put the remote on your person, wire the headphones to the remote, and you don't have to have the player in view, which is good. The next part is, like I say, where the next, it's like a little square. That's where the charger goes. It's where the charging light is when you're charging the unit up. More about that in a while. The next jack along is the microphone / line in jack. The characteristics of this jack can be changed. Now, you may have heard there a little noise, like a whistling and a clicking. Now, the clicking is the hard drive, the whistling is the motor of the drive, but it's not the physical noise. It's more of a digital interference from the motor. It's like, if any of you ever had family members who owned an old car and they were driving past electric pylons and they sort of go type sound, it's doing the same thing. You may get it on your computer as well if you've got a bad earth or something. But that's basically the hard drive was worrying there. I'll explain how that works in a while when I get onto the specs. The last jack is a line-out jack on the top. The right-hand side... It's just Toby telling me that somebody's got here. The right-hand side of the player essentially has one control on it. And that control is the lock switch. If you have the switch in the down position, which I do now, the keypad is locked. You cannot disturb the player in any way. If the switch is in the up position, the keypad becomes active, unlocked. The sides of this player are interesting. They're sort of like grooved. They've got like a channel in them, so you can put your, about as wide as your fingers, so you can like grip it with your fingers up either side. Working down to the bottom, I'm going to come back to the bottom left. There are four ports on here. There is a power jack where you charge the unit up, or if you're using an external battery pack, more about that later, you can run it on external emergency battery power. You have a USB on the go plug. Now this allows you to, it's a mini B plug, I hasten to add. You can use that to connect flash drives, cameras, anything basically that's USB on the go compatible. The American version of this player does not have that function as far as I know. That port is USB 1.1 compatible. The European version of the player, which I have here, does have that function. Now, the port to the right of that is a USB 2.0 port, and it's called to host. This lets you connect the player to your PC. To get the files off it. You can use this like a hard drive, effectively. Quite a large hard drive for the player's size. It's 40 gig. I will go into that on the specifications. I want to make this review quite small. I failed in my mission when I did my digital radio review. I made it a little bit big. But I like to review things from a blindness perspective, how I see the player as a partially sighted user. I do have some vision, so being able to visualise things is quite useful. The left-hand side of the player now, going up the left, has two bits. There is a reset button, which you would need to use a pin to use that button. The bit above that, which I'm touching, is the microphone. And it's very, very sensitive. I've got no background noise on this recording because the PC is switched off at this moment in time. Working on the back of the player, I'm not going to describe that too much because it's basically just stickers going on about warranty and specifications and all the usual bump that you get on there. And the front of the player consists of two main areas. The top area is the screen. It's a two inch TFT backlit screen, and very, very clear it is too. It's colour. The bottom half of the front panel consists of a small arrangement of buttons in a sort of an oblong rectangular arrangement. You have a central button with like a box around it. I'm just putting the keypad lock on again. That is your Navi button. The middle section, which I'm pressing, allows you to OK on an option, if you like. You can press that to confirm an option. The box around the edge of that is your four-way control. That is like you move around in your menus, which I'll talk about in a moment. Although these are not accessible by us. Well, I can use them if you have some sight and you have a video magnifier, you can put this player under your video magnifier and configure it yourself with suitable enlargement. It does work very well with that. I've done that myself. The buttons to the left and right of this control, this navi section, the left-hand side, they're above each other. They're sort of to the left of the navi, but the buttons are above each other vertically. You've got on the top button is on, play, pause. This is what you turn the player on with, and you use that to play a file and stop a file, or pause a file. The button below that is stop, off, and I call it escape or exit, because if you're in a menu and you want to come back a level, you press that to come out, and you keep pressing that until you're back to your standby screen. To switch the player off, you have to hold this button for probably 2 seconds, absolute maximum. If your player crashes, you hold it for 4 seconds or so, and the player will do an emergency shutdown. When you are back at the standby screen, if you've been into a menu, you can press that button as many times as you feel comfortable with getting back there. You don't have to worry about turning the player off by accident or anything like that. The top right button on the other side of the navi is the record button. In order to activate the record function, and we're talking about this in terms of the iRiver firmware at the moment, because some of these buttons do change function later in Rockbox. If you are using it in iRiver mode, you use this button to get into the record function. You hold it down for about 2 seconds or so, and it comes up with a menu screen, which, if you memorize this screen, a totally blind person with some sighted assistance to start with can actually get quite a lot out of these players. Most of the stuff in the main menu I will just glance over briefly, because it's not really worth talking about. It's basically just stuff that you would set once. Some of it you may not even use, depending on how you use this machine. The options in this record menu are music, radio, record, text and picture. But I cannot remember which order the last two go in. They go from left to right. Music is your play mode. You go to get to an option, you use the navi key, the navi box to move to it left or right with the left end or right end of the navi, and you press the center button on the navi to accept. The radio, I'm not really interested in. It's not that good. It can be used, I think, but the sensitivity is not great. I won't demo it because I can't get a very good signal. But basically, you use, when you're in the radio, you use your left and right navi buttons to switch between stations or presets. I think if you hold it down, it does a scan. If you just tap it lightly, just press it, release it, it will go into sort of I don't know what to call it. If you press it lightly, it moves from preset to preset or station to station if they're lightly in preset mode, and you get, and if you actually have any luck getting any. I'm actually recording this on the iRiver to give you an idea of the quality of its microphone that's built in. It's very, very good, actually, and this is what we're going to move on to now, the record screen. The menu, that is the third option from the left in the record menu. When you are in this screen, the record button, which is the top right, what you used to get into that, to get to the menu previous, a quick press on that will start recording. A press on the stop off button, which is the bottom left button, will stop the recording and save the file out of the memory buffer. Picture and text, I don't know what they are for. You can view photos on this as well, I think, and you can read text files, but that is something that we couldn't really get the use out of. Not really. So I won't talk about those functions. When you are in the music player or the radio, up and down on the Navi box will turn the volume up and down. If you press and hold it, it will turn it up and down sort of fairly quick. If you just nudge it, you've got more control just by tapping it and releasing it. Left and right change you from track to track. This applies to Rockbox as well. That's why I'm talking about this. Now, when you've done a recording and you want to play that back, it will go into the voice. There's a folder on, when you plug it into your PC, you will find a folder called record. In there you have audio and voice. Audio is used for things either recorded from the radio tuner or recorded from the external microphone / line port. Now, we have not talked about the bottom right button. I thought I'd mention the record facilities and how you would use those a bit. Bottom right, really, I don't think is that useful. It's an A, B, repeat button. Now, you can use this to do stupid things like make it sound like you've got a CD stuck or something on those lines. It's pretty much useless to me. I don't know what purpose it would serve, really. Unless, like, you're studying a piece of music or something like that. And you want to try and get a piano piece into your head. And you're thinking, oh, I really cannot get those notes. You can loop that part and get a feel for the song or the piece of music that you've looped. Other than that sort of use, I don't think it's any good. I think it could be useful, like, on a review like this, if you're listening to it on an iRiver or something like that, that has the A-B repeat. Like the Ederol players, which I don't have. I listened to a rather good Ederol R1 review. And like on that, you have basically got quite a useful, if you say you're listening to this review and you want to hear my contact details, to write them down on some braille paper or a braille note, or just write them down with a pen if you use that sort of method of doing things. Whatever method you use for writing them down, you would need to have that repeated to make sure you get them. So you can have it going in a loop, keep repeating itself till you've got it all down. So that's what that would do. Now let's talk about the menus. Briefly, I'm only going to skim over these because to me I don't think they're all that useful unless you've got sighted assistance to set them up. So I'm going to go in the back room where I've got my video magnifier set up and briefly talk about the main top level menu and then what is underneath it. So let's put the magnifier on. To get into your menu, you hold down the central Navi for about 2 seconds. Now, I hope this is still recording. It won't go in. Why is that? Am I locked? I don't know. We've got a problem here, guys. We cannot talk about the menus while recording this on the iRiver. So what I will have to do is basically try and describe the top level as best I can. It is in a grid view, like for those of us that have Nokia 6 Series 60 phones, it's a grid basically. And you have things like general, display, record, mode, sound, control, possibly others. I can't remember what they all are, but they basically, with the menus, you need sighted assistance to use them. So, what use, you may be thinking, well, what good is this player to me? Well, it makes a very good, solid, reliable podcasting player. the noise floor is very low. I think there maybe is some what they call self noise, but to me, for podcasting, it's acceptable. The only time noise ever becomes a problem is really when the hard drive comes in and when it buffers. I'll move on now to explaining how that works. I don't know the spec on this player as regards how much internal memory it has, but this player essentially records to solid state most of the time. It doesn't do direct to disc recording. It records to the disc in stages. Now what happens, it seems to me about every 5 minutes or so that it records, maybe a bit longer than that, I don't know, but it'll record to the hard disk fairly readily. Maybe so let's say absolute maximum, every 5 minutes it'll do a quick drive spin, write the buffer out to disk and carry on recording to the buffer. It writes out what's in the buffer to the drive, but enables it to carry on. As it's emptying the buffer, it writes more in. So the recording doesn't stop when it's writing to the drive, which is good. Now you may have just heard it there shutting down. The drive came up then for a second. That whining noises. In digital electromagnetic interference from the drive. It's not... The clicking noises are physical noises from the actual head movement, but the motor noise you hear is basically just electrical EMI, electromagnetic interference from the motor as it's working. It's not serious. If you're using the external microphone, then you wouldn't probably get that. Which moves us on to what you get with the player. Now, the version I got... Hello, Toby. I bought this player from a place called Phone Planet. And that's phoneplanit.com. Now, they sell, well, mobile phones as we call them, cell phones, MP3 players, any sort of portable audio type stuff, I think, that's portable related such as this, and it was about £299 for the player including the value added tax, or VAT as we call it. I don't know what you guys in America call it, but we have this tax. I think you call it sales tax. It's about 17.5% added to the value of a product. Well, I'm not going to go into that. I just thought I'd mention it so you understand how the British deal with this sort of thing. I think you guys call it sales tax. I ordered this player on Friday afternoon. No, Saturday afternoon I ordered it. It's last Saturday just gone. And I got it on next day delivery. Because it was like a Saturday that I ordered it, they would dispatch it the Monday and I got it on the Tuesday. Fairly early on in the morning, actually, I have to say their service is really good. They are a good company. I mean, there's places in America and that you can buy these too. I have the European version. The actual appearance of this to your version is not much different, if at all. The only difference is the USB on the go port. I think on the American one is probably disabled or wired differently from specifications that I found. But other than that, that's about it. So let's look at this now to wrap this review up. We'll look at the specifications now. This has a 40 gig Toshiba 1.8 inch hard disk. It has a 2 inch full colour, 250 odd thousand colour screen. It has, I don't know what the colour is, I think it's black. It's got like spots on the plastic. It's very smooth plastic, I have to say. I do like this player a lot. Now, I would basically say, if I could see the menus without my magnifier and I had a way of recording a little review on the menu system on this, then I would do that. But if anybody else has one of these players and wants to go through the menu system, please do, because I wanted really to demonstrate this player with actually recording this review. Sound quality. Now, the sound quality on this is truly mind-blowing. It really is. It's beautiful. I could quite happily listen to CDs. I've got about 8 gigs worth of songs on it. I was just letting you hear the drive again, just to give you an idea. I've got about 8 gigabytes of songs on here now from various albums that I've ripped into MP3 form. I don't buy music. I don't know the compatibility of this player to music stores. But if you rip your own music, which I would imagine most people probably will, then it will take MP3s, it will take Ogg Vorbis. I think it plays Waves too. I'm not sure exactly what the spec is on what it will play, but it will definitely play MP3, WMA, as far as I know, Ogg Vorbis. I think it plays FLAC, FLAC, Wave, I believe. Quite a few formats. It's what they call a multi-codec jukebox. It's very good. I do like this machine. The quality, the sound quality is amazing. When you're recording from the internal microphone, it has a maximum recording bit depth of 128 kbps, which we're using now. You have to go into the menus. You would need sighted assistance, or if you have a magnifier, video magnifier, if you use that kind of thing, you can get to it yourself, because I did that. And the menus on it are quite good. It takes a bit of getting used to, but once you get used to this control surface, the box and the various buttons, it's good. So now I'm going to just do a few quick recordings now with the player. But before I do that, I want to describe what came with it. You got a probably plasticky leathery case, like a carrying case, which I've just put it in. That consists of not really a great lot. It's got cutouts. It's a bit like a phone case, really. It's got cutouts for the jacks on the top. There's a cutout for the microphone on the left, a cutout for the lock switch on the top right, and a cutout on the bottom left for the charging socket. Now, it can be mounted to your belt with a rather fancy looking belt clip. And what that is, it has on the back of it like a screw, sort of a stud. It's got a screw head on it, but it's like a stud. And you push the handle, you push the back of this clip up over the stud to clip it in place like so. Now, as I say, there's nothing really much to tell you about that case. Apart from the top front where the screen is, has got a plastic cover over it. Where the buttons are, it's just cut out. There's a hole in it where the buttons are, so the buttons can show through, which is nice. So, what else did I get with it? I got an external tie clip microphone. I got a cradle, which is probably something similar to what you use with the what do they call those things, the personal digital assistants, like the, for those of us like that use things like the Maestro or the, you know, the kind of thing, people like the iPacks and things that you'd run Maestro on, and HAL for Pocket HAL and Pocket Mobile Speak and that kind of thing on Mobile Speak Pocket, that's the one. That kind of equipment would sit on it. You get an emergency battery pack unit, which you put, I think it's AA batteries, into that, and it allows you to run the machine when the battery's dead. I don't think it has enough power to charge the battery, but it will certainly power it. If your machine's dying, you put that on, it'll extend your battery life quite considerably, which is pretty cool, really. I think it basically keeps your main battery charging up to keep it going, as far as I'm aware. It also came with us a 1/8 inch jack to jack lead that is used for connecting it to the line out port on a line in port on here to a line out on something else to get a recording from an external source. Now, the jack I'm talking about, I don't know if that is the actual proper name for it. It's the type that you have on Walkmans, the small jacks. We call them in Britain, we call them 3.5mm jacks. The book courier, Bookport use them. APH cassette players use them. I'm a proud owner of two of those that work and one that currently doesn't. And incidentally, the one that doesn't, I'm sorry to say, Larry, about it, about my dissatisfaction with this, is the APH Handy Cassette Mark II. My Handy Cassette Mark I is not exactly the most healthy, because it isn't working as it should. Well, the all three of them need a bit of work on them. One of them's 26 years old. I mean, my desktop model is the APH AC-DC recorder. It's 26 years old, is that, I would think. I was given it a while ago. A friend of mine was going to throw it away. She thought it was no good, so I rescued it, and I've partly got it working. So, good on APH for making things like that that last for years. But enough of that. As I was saying, the just let you hear that again, you know, just to show you that the hard drive is doing something every now and again. Anyway, you get quite a bit of gear with this. That's about it, really. The next review I do will be talking about Rockbox. You also get, just briefly, I just forgot, you get an adapter for the to host plug on the bottom. If you're connecting it to the computer, you get a USB mini B to standard A, and you get a mini B to a socket, which allows you to plug thumb drives, cameras, anything that uses a standard socket A, a USB A lead, the big flat end, can be plugged into a adapter which plugs onto the USB on the go port. As players go, I rate it highly. Once you've configured the player, it's very easy to use. It's a question of switch it on. It will remember, if you've been in record mode, it will remember where you left it. So if you start it up, it will come up in record mode. What you do to find your best way, so you know where you are, I always find, is to put it back to the play screen in music mode. To do that, as I say, you hold down your record button for about 2 seconds, press twice on the left-hand end of the navigation box, which will put you back on the music option. If you want the radio, you put it back to the left once and then press OK. You've always got to press on the center of the nav to activate the function which you are going to be using. I would always recommend that you do that. The ordinary menus, if you decide to use the ordinary menus, they do go back to the top. If you've been in something, it stays where you left it, but when you turn the player off and back on, if you really screw something up and you don't know where you are in the menus, come out of them by pressing your off stop button repeatedly until you think you're out altogether, then shut the player down. It appears that when you start this player up, it remembers nothing about the menu position, so you end up back on the top left corner which is general. So that's something to bear in mind. Now I'm just going to briefly do a quick recording of something just to give you an idea of what this sounds like. I'm going to clip it on my belt. Say hello to my mum. Yo!
Want a cup of tea?
Yeah, I'll have a cuppa, please.
Paul from
Barbina. Yes, he did. I said that he might be at the home place and he might try and...
Missed him there. Did he say where he
wanted? No, he didn't. Sorry. That was my mum. As you can hear, if you heard the thing there, you just ignore that bit of a conversation, but I just wanted to show you the quality of this machine. Now I'm switching on my Tyros keyboard just briefly, just to let you hear it through the iRiver. It's got a very bassy response, so I'm going to try and use some sounds which aren't so bassy. Let's try with a piano. As you can hear, the iRiver is very, very bass responsive. I'm going to tone the keyboard down a bit because I'm going to use another guitar sound here. I'll be away in a second. So as you can hear, the iRiver is very, very good. I just dropped something, I just found it now. One more sound, just to give you an idea. Wrong one. Hang on. This is the string section. That's a bass. Just to give you an idea what the response is like. Then we'll go with this one. So, to wrap up this review, I would just like to say thanks for taking the time to listen to this review about the iRiver H340. I hope it's been some use. I want to apologise for the fact that you can't access the menus on this while it is recording. So, the last thing I want to say is about contact details. I could be contacted now on the Blind Quartet mailing list. I can also be contacted at kwawell, which is kwhawell, at kwhawell.plus.com. I hope this recording has been useful to those of you looking for a decent accessible recorder stroke MP3 player. I hope you've enjoyed this recording, because I certainly have. I've enjoyed making it. The next review I do will be on the accessible software which can be installed to this player called Rockbox. Now Rockbox can be got from www.rockbox.org, rockbox.org, and it's freeware. So, let you salute. get an idea of what... I'll be reviewing this piece of equipment that's playing this tune eventually. This is the Yamaha Tyros keyboard playing us out. As you can hear, it's very bassy. The recorder's handling that, I think, quite well. I'd just like to say many thanks to the people on Blind Cool Tech mailing list. That's people such as Neil Ewers, Donna Slater, Mary Emerson, Larry Scutchin, Scutcon, can't remember how you pronounce it. Everybody on the list whose names I don't know, and Hope Pevenmeyer, everybody on the list. I want to say a big thanks to all of you for helping me get to know what is what with the list, how to use the list, reviews and comments that people have made about various bits of equipment, particularly Larry, for his MP3 Christmas reviews, which I have to say are rather good. So, that's going to draw this review to a close now. And I'd just like to say a big thanks to everybody on the Blind Cool Tech mailing list. And thanks for giving me feedback on my reviews. This is Christian Waywell, signing off.